Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to visit kentwoodcommunitychurch.com and share with us how God is using this church in your life. We value you and we want to hear your story or testimony. So please feel free to send us an email or post online. Also, if interested, you can help support the ministry financially through our website as well. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God.
Well, I want to jump right into the sermon this weekend. We've been in a sermon series called Mistaken Identity. And if you recall, when we started this part of the book of Romans, we said that the reason for that title, Mistaken Identity, is that we want you to remember who you are. There are many Christians that have been set free, that have been given the power to walk in victory in this life, but they still live as if they're in bondage to the things that had them in bondage in their old life. So we're talking about being set free. Last week we said the title of the sermon was Set Free Part 1. This weekend would be Set Free Part 2, because Paul uses that expression more than once. So we're saying, remember who you are. You don't have to walk the way you used to walk, because God has made you new. We started the series saying that you are royalty and now you are set free. I want to give greetings to our Nagpur, India campus and to the young people who may watch via video at the Kent County Juvenile Detention Facility. By way of applause, would you let them know we're praying for them? We are one church in multiple locations, and it's good to be able to gather together here and also at the Wyoming campus and in Nagpur as well. So when it comes to the idea of being in bondage, I know that when I say you're set free, some people say, I've never been in bondage to anything. Well, maybe you've never physically had shackles on you, but think about some of the things that people are in bondage to in our culture. Some of you are in bondage to money and possessions. The word greed comes to mind. Constantly checking your bank account, your 401k balance, your retirement accounts, wondering if you're accumulating more at a fast enough rate, not because you're wondering about how you live in retirement, but because you're greedy, you're a hoarder. And I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what some of us are in bondage to. You hold tightly to stuff. The idea of being generous and giving to others is like a foreign idea to you. For other people, maybe it's not greed when it comes to money and possessions, but it's pornography. We don't shy away from talking about it in the life of the church. It's a sin that many people of all ages and ethnic backgrounds and stages of life struggle with. It is not exclusive to one group. There's some people that are hooked, and it's not like the old days where folks were hiding magazines in their room and things like that. It's the computer for many people that you're just stuck, you're addicted, you're in bondage. And yet Christ came to set you free. For other people, it's anger. It's an emotional kind of bondage. You're liable to just go off on anybody any minute. I better watch out talking to you in the hallway. You might go off on me. No, I'm just kidding. Like, some people, they just have a short fuse. And they find themselves apologizing regularly because they've gone off on someone, and you know it's not right, and you feel conviction about it, but it's almost like you feel enslaved to anger. Or for some of you, it actually has been physical shackles. But what's interesting is, if you were to take someone who's an inmate, who's shackled up, who's being told where to go and when to eat and when to sleep, and then set them free and take the shackles off, it would be so strange to see someone who experienced that freedom actually ask to go back into the jail and be in shackles again. Like, no one would do that and say, I want to live the way I lived when I was in jail or in prison. No, you have been set free. Why would you ever go back to living the old way of life? And so, just to recap the sermon points from last weekend at the beginning of Romans 6, we said we must die to sin in order to live a new life. That means surrendering to Jesus. You have to surrender to Christ in order to live a new life. And we said when we die to sin, there's two things that happen. We're released from bondage to sin, but we also live with Christ. So we said where you go, Christ goes with you when you're a Christian. So there's some places that some of you go and some things that some of you do. And the idea of taking Christ there with you, That should be a game changer for you, because there's some things you just wouldn't do anymore if you recognize that Christ is with you and you're with Christ. And we said Christ conquered death once and for all. He doesn't have to do it over and over again. He did it once on the cross, sufficient. When he got up out of the tomb with all power and authority for you and for me, that one time was good enough for all of humanity. And then we said God's grace gives us the power to walk in freedom. God's grace opens the door for us to walk in the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to walk in freedom. So what Paul does in the letter to the Christians in Rome is he anticipates what the next statement will be. That some people would say, okay, if I have freedom, then doesn't that mean I can do whatever I want to do and just rely on God's grace to take care of me? Like, I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Doesn't matter what I do. And Paul starts off in Romans 6, beginning in 15, with these words. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Some of your translations say, God forbid. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, I know some of you don't like the word slavery there, but what Paul is describing is that there are only two paths. You're either serving God, pursuing righteousness, or you're serving sin as a slave to sin. There is no middle ground. In other words, he's saying we all serve something. We all do. And the minute you start to talk about only two paths and there's no middle ground, there's only one of two ways, servant to sin, servant to righteousness, the skeptic looks at you and says, that seems so narrow-minded, so naive, so restrictive, how could you teach something like that? The atheist says, there is no God. I'm not serving God or serving sin. I'm just trying to be a good person and impact my world. And the humanist says, I'm just serving myself. I have the power to be God on my own. I don't need some religious concept of God and Jesus, and I'm not messing up in the world and serving sin. I'm serving myself. And what Paul is saying is, if you say you're serving yourself, you're a slave to sin. There's only two ways. You're either serving God or you're serving sin. Even Mother Teresa herself, who lived an awesome life and made a difference in the world, had a gap that needed to be closed between her and God, and the only one that could close it was Jesus. And that's the heart of the gospel message, that all of us fall short in sin and fall short of the glory of God. Paul has said it earlier in the book of Romans. We all serve something. Who are you serving? What path are you on? Paul says, you're a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God. So here's the good news in the text. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free. There are those words, set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Paul stops sometimes in his letters and just throws out some gratitude. Thanks be to God, he says. You're not who you used to be. Your pattern has changed. You're on a whole different track. You might feel like you still are caught up in certain sins, but guess what? You have the power, almost like a superpower, to conquer any temptation that comes your way because of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did on the cross. I love how Paul says, thanks be to God, because it reminds us we ought to be grateful. This is one of those ought to points in the sermon. We ought to be grateful that Christ offers us freedom from sin. This is something that we ought to regularly thank God for, that you've given us freedom from sin, that we can walk in victory over sin. We ought to be grateful. But it's not just about being grateful up here in our heads. It's being grateful with our lives. I love this quote from John F. Kennedy when he was president in 1963 at the Thanksgiving Proclamation. This is what he said. As the whole nation was filled with gratitude at Thanksgiving, he says, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Now, it's one thing to say that you're about something. It's something else to be about it. In other words, if you're serving God, if your identity has been changed, don't just talk about peace, be an agent of peace. Don't just talk about forgiveness, actually extend forgiveness. Don't just talk about joy, walk around with a smile on your face and actually be joyful. Don't just talk about a life that's been made new, actually live a new life. Like what Paul is saying is, you have all the power you need to walk with the joy and the peace that God has given you. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to walk about in bondage. You can walk about in freedom. In other words, if you've been given new life, live a new life. You don't have to live bound up and shackled. So he goes on to say, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. He's acknowledging slavery as a word picture is a tough picture, but I'm trying to give you an analogy. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying, look, the way you used to do things, you were a slave to sin, and you used to do things a certain way when you didn't have righteousness as a concept in your life. But now you can live differently. Said more plainly, some of you used to sin with some passion and some enthusiasm. And now that you've become a Christian, you think that God doesn't want you to have any passion or any enthusiasm. No, if you used to sin boldly, why not tell people about Jesus boldly? Hey, like if you used to be out in the club getting your dance on and your drink on with a whole bunch of joy, you were the life of the party, then come to church and worship with some joy and enthusiasm and be the life of the party here. Don't hold back now that you're a Christian. Like whatever energy you poured into sin, and pour the same energy into righteousness and see what happens. And it's not about earning God's favor. It's the fact that God has changed your identity, and so you already have God's favor. So why not live with passion in the context of God's favor? I tell some of the people in our congregation who do multi-level marketing, is it possible that more people know your passion for your product than they know your passion for Jesus? Right, whether it's Amway, whether it's Unique, whether it's It Works, whether it's whatever multi-level marketing business you're involved in, there's no condemnation on the business. It's more like you're taught in those settings that everyone you should encounter, everyone might be a potential host for a party, a potential customer. But do you walk through life thinking that I'm encountering people who may be in bondage to sin and every one of them may need to get to know Jesus? So why not pursue it with the same passion? Why not pursue it with even more passion? Paul says, you used to do this, now you do this. You're on a whole different path than what you used to be on. He's saying we can know where the path that we choose leads us to. What path are you choosing? He contrasts the paths in those verses. A life characterized by slavery to sin, it leads to impurity, to wickedness, to shame, and ultimately to death. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on that path. I don't want to be on a path that leads to those things. But he's saying, you know where you're going. The wages of sin is death. But he contrasts that with the gift of God, which is eternal life. So in other words, there's another path characterized by slavery to righteousness, true freedom, holiness, and eternal life. It makes us wonder, why would anyone choose slavery to sin rather than slavery to righteousness? Slavery to righteousness is just a picture for freedom. Why would anyone want to be bound up? You've been given a new identity. Why would you want to live out of your old identity? You fundamentally have been placed on a different team. Some of you know that next week, about 100 students from KCC will leave for Never the Same Camp. It's a camp we send students to 6th through 12th grade every year. They go away for a week. They're going to Indiana. They leave next Sunday. And so I told the students, if you could get 100 students registered, I think they were at 95 or 96. I said, if you get 100 students registered, then I'll let you dunk me in a dunk tank. And so that's supposed to happen tonight. There's some pre-NTS party at the Kentwood campus to see if they can dunk me. I don't know if they made it to 100 yet. But then I said, you know what, if you get to 150, I'll let you dunk me in a Michigan State University football jersey. Some of you are thinking, man, I gotta text my grandchildren, my children, like, you gotta get some more kids signed up for camp. I said, if you get to 175, I'll preach in a Michigan State University basketball jersey. And I don't think they're gonna get that. But you know what? Even if you put a Michigan State University basketball jersey on me, I know that long ago God made me to be a Michigan man. I know that fundamentally it doesn't matter if I wear those clothes, my identity will not have changed. And so for some of you, you may have struggled with sin over the last week. You may be caught up in some things that you need to repent of. But if you are a Christian that has surrendered to Jesus, your identity has been made new. You are no longer on a path of slavery to sin. You've been made righteous and you can walk in obedience. God changed you. So why would you even dabble in those filthy rags? Wait, I wasn't talking about the Michigan State stuff. Oh, wait, maybe I was. Why would you even dabble in that old stuff when God has given you a new identity? Why do people choose slavery to sin over slavery to righteousness? I think because they like it better. Some people think it's more fun to just be a sinner. They think Christianity is too restrictive. And if that's your view, you have only scratched the surface of the joy and the peace that comes from a life fully surrendered to Christ. It's the best way to live. When Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I believe he means you can do nothing of lasting significance. The most significant life is lived in yielded surrender to Jesus. So my question for you to consider is, which path have you chosen? I know that most weeks when we gather, most of the people in the room have already chosen the path of righteousness. You're already committed. So why the sermon series? Because so many people who are already committed and have been given something new still live as if they're living out of that old flesh and old identity. And that does not have to be the case. God is empowering you for righteousness and for holiness such that you would leave this place and be a world changer every week. And when we come together, we'd be celebrating the stories of life transformation that are going on in our midst. Some of you have chosen the path of disobedience. You said, I don't want to surrender to God. It sounds like a bait and switch. You're telling me I'm free from slavery to sin, but now I got to be a slave to righteousness. That doesn't sound very freeing. And I'm telling you, that's only because you have not imagined what freedom in Christ is all about. Slavery to righteousness means you have the freedom to run, the freedom to dance, the freedom to be an agent of the kingdom in this world. You have the freedom to change the world. And God will give you the power to do it each step along the way. So I have some few actions for you to take, very practical. Number one, some of you need to just write a letter to God expressing your gratitude for your faith in Christ. Thanks be to God, Paul says. Write it down. Get out a piece of paper, get your laptop out, and write a letter. What should you do with that letter? Some of you need to put it on your dashboard or your mirror in your bathroom, or put it as the screensaver on your desktop, or put it in a place where you won't forget it when temptation comes. Or you can look at it and remind yourself that you're grateful for the freedom that Christ has given you. Or here's a second one for those of you who are social media types. Post on social media the reasons why you are grateful for being a follower of Jesus. And just include the hashtag KCC Mistaken Identity. You know, we have a lot of reasons to be grateful if we're Christians. Maybe you can just tell the world about some of those reasons. I posted on social media this week that I had a chance to have dinner this week with three couples that were at our home, that two of the three have been married longer than I've been alive. I'm 44 years old, and so, you know, these folks have been married a long time. And the thing I loved about hearing their story is that sometimes the misconception is people look at couples like that and assume that it's been all sunshine and roses the whole way, that they never encountered any problems. And what you realize is that these folks, they encountered some struggles along the way, but they chose together to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And they chose that as they focused on him, that when they encountered problems and storms, to work through them. And they have a lot of reasons now in these long-term marriages to be grateful that they stuck it out. I was just privileged to be able to spend some time with them. Maybe some of you need to post your reasons for your gratitude because of your relationship with Jesus on your social media page. I know that anytime I mention long-term marriages, for some of you, you feel the sting and the conviction of divorce. It's happened to you, and you wonder, like, what could have been, or you wonder if I'm speaking a word of condemnation, and that's not the case. I know it takes two people pursuing Christ together for a marriage to work and last for a lifetime. And so maybe for you, even if you've experienced the pain of that, you can look back over your life and think about the things you're grateful for that God has spared you from or delivered you into in this season of your life. Or the third one, confess to someone in your circle if you've been living like a slave to sin rather than embracing the freedom of a relationship with Christ. In other words, if you've been living a double life, if you've been two-faced, one way at church and a different way out in the world, if you're caught up in an area of sin where you feel like you're in bondage, you feel like you're shackled, and I'm telling you, you're not, you're free, and you need to walk in victory, maybe today's the day you need to confess to someone in your circle, and that takes a whole lot of courage. But can I tell you that the weight would be lifted? Whatever burden you feel, it would be lifted. You'd be able to walk in freedom. That's the freedom that we want you to have. And so I'd like to pray about that for you. I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know those who are in bondage today. And you know those that you've set free. Lord, you know the ones that are free, that act like they're still in bondage, and you know the ones that are in bondage that don't realize the freedom that they need in you. God, I'm asking today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help people to embrace the freedom that's found through you. Lord, remind us of who we are. For those who are Christians, Lord, whether it's at the Nagpur campus or Wyoming or even in the juvenile detention facility, Lord, or anyone listening online, I just pray that you would remind them that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is victory in the name of Jesus. There's freedom and hope and peace and joy and comfort and deliverance in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that we would be able to walk in that victory. And Lord, for those who don't know you, I pray that today would be the day of surrender. Pray, oh Lord, that folks would recognize the need to die to sin and live for you. So Lord, would you help us know how to respond to you in the moments ahead? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.